didn't like dresses. My shame turned into fear. But now times have changed and I love being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. Well, when I was a teen, I dated boy after boy to prove I was okay. You know, I let them go to second base. I'd never let them go all the way. You know, I didn't like their kisses. I didn't like their touch. My lies turned into fear. But now times have changed and I love being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. Well, I got married, I had a child, I did the housewife thing. You know, I'd wash and iron and I would cook and clean. I treated him like a king. But then I had headaches night after night, and it became real clear that times are changing. I love being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. You know I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. Just as I am, there's really nothing to fear. You know, times have changed and I'm okay being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it.
Now, if there ever was a perfect song to open this show, well, that was it. I'm J.D. Doyle, and this is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. The artist telling us that she's here, she's queer, and you better get over it, is Gay Adegbolola. I'll say that name again, as it's a mouthful. Gay Adegbolola, and she's one of two very out and proud artists I'm featuring on this month's show. The other is Scott Free, a Chicago artist who's excelled in a number of genres, from punk to rock, a bit of hip-hop, and currently on a bold journey into pop rock. But we'll get to his remarkable new album in the second part of the show. Gay Adegbolola is hardly a newcomer to the music scene. She's well known, of course, as a founding member of the trio called Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women. Over the last 25 years, they've recorded 7 group albums, and this is her 3rd solo release. And what a release it is. I very much respect this album, as it packs quite a punch with her social activism, wrapped up in her tremendous talent as a blues artist. And I love the title of the CD. Her first name is spelled G-A-Y-E, so the album is called Gay Without Shame, and I opened the show with the Queer Blues. Of course, I asked her to tell me about the song.
Well, that's purely autobiographical. That's my story. That's my story right there. So that's straight from my heart. That chant, I heard it, we're here, we're queer, get over it, get over it. I heard it at a Pride March in New York City many, many years ago, and I haven't heard it since. And it's so good, I just thought I'd resurrect it and put it in a song.
I think I wrote you when you sent me the CD and I put that track on, that I got a huge smile on my face.
I'm so glad. I hope lots of people do.
I gave Gay the challenge of seeing if she could sum up the album in just a few seconds.
I'm a blues woman, and I've been a professional blues woman for about 30 years. I want the blues community to honestly see me, and to gain understanding about my struggle for acceptance. And at the same time, I want my gay, lesbian, bi, transgender questioning community to experience the magic, universal healing power of the blues. Okay?
That wasn't that hard. Okay.
Well, you know what? This is my first interview in regard to this CD.
Oh.
And I'm just really thrilled that it's with you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I really am. I'm just so delighted that it's with you.
Well, that's really cool to hear.
Yeah. I've been out for a long, long time, but I haven't really put it in my music. I mean, in 1999, I did Bittersweet Blues, and it was out, but it wasn't out. I wanted this CD to be more topical, more political, and I wanted people to grasp an understanding of some of the struggles that we go through. So that this will be hitting the blues community, and I don't think they understand how similar GLBT oppression is to black oppression. One song deals with that. I don't think they understand the struggle that the transgender community has. I don't think they understand what gay, lesbian step-parents go through. So I thought I would try to present those real issues, concrete day-to-day living issues, to the world, if you would, to anybody who would be within the sound of my voice. And at the same time, every time I've been at GLBT events, I really haven't heard the blues that much. So in this CD, you get a real sampling of different blues flavors. Everything from New Orleans blues to Piedmont blues to Delta blues, classic blues, R&B. There's even a doo-wop on here. So it's a full spectrum of blues stylings on this CD. And I'm hoping that gays and lesbians might support it because of the message. And then I'm hoping that gays and lesbians might love the blues, that I might see them at a blues fest. There's also, at the tail end of the CD, there's a speech that I gave at a Fredericksburg Pride rally, and in it I do compare the similarities and differences of gay oppression and black oppression, what I had to go through during the civil rights period. You know, I was born, so to speak, I was born in apartheid. So I grew up being inferior on many fronts. I didn't really come out until I was damn near 50. So that's a long time limit living a lie. I'm 64 now, just in case you're interested.
That's on your website.
Yeah, you don't get old by being a fool, you know. And part of what I want this new CD to do is to, you know, blues just doesn't get a whole lot of airplay. And if you can't hear it, you can't like it. A lot of people still think that blues is a sad music, and it's not. You get the pain out. So just given what gays and lesbians go through to exist with the discrimination in this world, I think that the blues could bring a lot of healing to our community.
I've got a lot more to ask about Gay's new album and career, but I don't want to go too long without some more music. So from the new release, I asked her to tell me about one of the handful of covers on the album, her recording of the song, Let It Be Me.
Well, that's been one of my favorite songs for a long, long time. I just think it's a beautiful song. The version is based on a Nina Simone version. Nina Simone is probably my number one hero, my number one influence in terms of politics and also in terms of just her music stylings. Last year I was working at a blues workshop, and a young woman who had been one of my former students, we were sitting around in someone's kitchen one night, and we started singing it, and our voices went together like hand and glove. So the young woman's name is Cleomi, and she lives and plays in the Bay Area in California. When I did this, it's like, what's the best love song that I can put on here with two women singing to each other.
God bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you. And so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. Or if you must cling to someone, now and forever, please let it be me. Each time we meet, love, your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely.
Tell me a little about your history with Sapphire.
Okay. Ann Radisson, who is the piano player in Sapphire, and I started playing as a duo back in 78. So we've been playing together for 30 years. And at that time, it was two guitars. Later on, I ran into Ann, and she said, I'm playing some piano now. So at the age of 35 or so, Ann had taken up piano, and we started sneaking in the college here to practice. We found out that another person, Earlene Lewis, who was our original bass player, had a piano at her house, so we pulled her on into the band. So in 1984, Sapphire was born. In 1988, when I was 44 years old, we quit our day jobs and we went on the road. And it wasn't easy, but we did it. We started making a living doing what we love.
Is there a song that you've written of which you're the most proud?
No, it usually tends to be my most recent song. You know, that's the one that I'm closest to. But I guess if someone asked me, you know, I really don't know. That's a hard thing. Like, Middle Age Blues made enough money for me to put my son through college. So I'm really proud of that. You know, I mean, really and truly, that song's royalties put my son through school. So I'd have to say that. However, I don't sing that song anymore because it talks about finding a young, young man. And that's a lie.
Was looking around and checking out my very best friends. Seems that they'd all taken up with young, young men. Seems that when you reach around middle age, you don't want a final chapter. You want to write another page. I need a young man to drive away my middle age blues. Well, seems like men my age are all married, boring or tired. You gotta find a young man. A number, the good Lord made it that way. I need a young man to drive away my middle-aged blues.
That was a bit of Middle-Aged Blues from the 1990 album Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women. And I couldn't resist asking her about another vintage Sapphire song. It's from their 1996 album Cleaning House. The song is called I Lost My Baby to Another Man.
Now, this is a song that I didn't even want to record. I wanted some other girly girl to record it, like Andra in the band. But I had already cut the tracks in my key, so we used my vocal. And I know several women who've lost their husbands to other men. And so in this song, it says, the cards were dealt. I was trumped by fate. Two of a kind beat my straight. That's one of my favorite lines. My son actually gave me that line. It's also, the tree will grow as it's inclined. I didn't know better. But it deals with the fact that I'm in pain. And would I have been in more pain if it had been a woman that took the man instead of a man? Because this is really out of my control. We were star-crossed lovers. J.D., I'm surprised that you know all these songs.
I pay attention.
I am absolutely amazed because that's one of the favorite songs that I've written in terms of the lyrics and the music. Songwriting is really hard because you have to tell a whole story in 3 or 4 minutes, and you have to shape the whole story, not just visually, but also emotionally in a few minutes. And I think that I did it well in that song. And I've had several women say that I captured what they went through with that particular song.
I lost my baby to another man. I'm trying so hard to understand. We both are doing best that we can, but I lost my baby to another man. Was in the stars, in nature's signs. The tree will grow as it's inclined, but I knew nothing. I was blind. Two stars were crossed, and one was mine. It hurt, it hurt so bad. If it was a woman, would I feel so sad? But what does it matter? I know it's not about me. Cards were dealt, I was trumped by fate. Two of a kind beat my straight. The game is over, the hour is late. The truth came out, now how can I?
This is probably an impossible question to answer, but what song from either your solo or group work is the most fun to perform?
Big Ovaries, baby. On my website, there's a YouTube performance of Big Ovaries, and if anybody has time to check it out, oh man, it's a groove. I really, you wouldn't believe that somebody my age can shake it like that.
So is that the biggest crowd pleaser?
Well, it's one of them. I would say with Sapphire crowds, I cannot get through a night without doing Silver Beaver, which is one that I wrote, or either Bitch with a Bad Attitude. Those are my big hits. School Teacher Blues, Big Ovaries, Middle Age Blues. But in terms of just straight up performance fun, I would have to say Big Ovaries.
Wild. I used to be called womanish even when I was a child, cause I got big ovaries, baby. Yeah, I got big ovaries, baby. I got big ovaries, baby, big enough to speak my mind.
Yep, that was a bit of Big Ovary's Baby from Gaye's 1999 CD, Bittersweet Blues. I also want to get to a couple of the songs from her 2004 album, Neoclassic Blues. But first, I wanted to ask her how the new album is different from her previous solo work.
Okay, I have done three previous solo recordings. In the first solo recording, it's on Alligator, and I'm kind of out but not out. I do Prove It On Me. I have a couple of songs. One song deals with incest. Another song deals with domestic violence. And so it is topical, but it isn't geared specifically to GLBT issues. My next CD is called Neoclassic Blues. And my next solo CD is Neoclassic Blues. And I did that in response to Martin Scorsese's The Blues series that was on PBS. You know, this man put 14 hours of music on public television. He didn't have 14 minutes of women on this series. And women were the foremothers of the blues. Then either I could just sit there and be mad or I could do something about it. So what I did was go back and got some of the classic blues singers and some of my favorite songs. And of course, that would automatically include Ma Rainey doing Prove It On Me, but it would also include Bessie Jackson, if you will, doing BD Women's Blues. It would also include Memphis Minnie doing Nothing in Ramblin'. And so the CD is open and out, but it's a historical CD. And I'm fairly authentic to the history. So that's where I was going with that CD. And my third solo CD is called Blue Mama Black Son. And my son, who was into industrial goth music at the time, took my traditional blues songs, programmed them to his style, and then I sang to him. And that was truly a joy to make music with my child. So all three of those, I'm honest in them, but this CD here really has a mission to it.
From your album, Neoclassic Blues, tell me about Prove It On Me Blues.
Well, that's a Ma Rainey tune, and it's absolutely delightful. I think it's from the mid-20s, and I've kind of tweaked the lyrics some because she says, I went out last night with a crowd of my friends, must have been women because I don't like no men. But I love men. I don't have that problem. So I just tweaked it to say I went out last night, crowd of my friends. Must have been women because there sure weren't no men. And it goes on, I wear my clothes just like a fan, which is a dandy person. I like my collar. I like my tie. They said I did it, but you sure can't prove it on me. So it was still about being closeted, but it was also about flaunting one's, dressing like a man, walking like a man, talking like a man, and I just love it.
Went out last night, had a great big fight, everything seemed to go on wrong. I looked up, to my surprise, the gal I was with was gone. Where she went, I don't know. I mean to follow everywhere she goes. Folks say I'm crooked. I didn't know where she took it. I want the whole world to know. They said I'd do it. Ain't nobody caught me. Sure got to prove it on me. I went out last night with a crowd of my friends. They must have been women, cause there sure were no men. It's true, I wear a collar and a tie, make the wind blow all the while. They say I do it. Well, ain't nobody caught me. Sure got to prove it on me. Coming time, BD women gon' need no men. Coming a time,
Lord, the way they do us is a low-down, dirty sin. Beady women, you sure can't understand. Beady women, you sure can't understand. They got a head like a sweet angel. They walk like a natural man. Beady women, they done learn their plan. Beady women, done learn their plan. They can lay their jive just like a natural man.
That's Bessie Jackson, who is actually Lucille Bogan. And Lucille Bogan is one of my just, oh, I love her. I mean, she has some of the nastiest songs that I have ever heard. I mean, absolutely filthy. And I'm sure you don't play those on your show, or do you?
No.
Okay, Shave 'em Dry?
No, you don't can't play that.
Can't play that, okay. Well, I didn't want to put Shave 'em Dry on my CD either. Beady women come in a time when beady women won't need no men. The way they treat them is a low-down, dirty sin. Beady women, they work and they make their dough. You know, in the black community, and I don't know why this is, but the BD always stood for bulldagger. And somewhere along the line, it changed to bull dyke. And I kind of like bulldagger better. You know, I don't know why, but it's probably just my generation. But that BD stands for bulldagger. Oh, I know. I was just going to say that a song I had thought about writing is Bulldagger in a China Shop. You know, bull in China.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I'm a pit bull dyke. I'm ready to growl.
Yeah, work on that.
Okay, real good.
Want to switch tone and tell me about the song Bareback.
Well, we kind of struggled with that one. It was no struggle writing it. Once I get the hook, which is you can't ride bareback, you know, and that being about safe sex in this day and age. So once I got that, it was like all I had to do was milk the metaphor. You know, you're in control, keep pulling on the reins. All I need is a stallion, so on and so forth. So you have to be tall enough to ride this ride, you know, like at the amusement parks, so that I could go in and milk the metaphor with riding, and that was easy.
Hey there, my friend, I want to give you some advice. Come on and take your time and think about it more than once or twice. When a fellow walks up to you and you check his size, you better make sure he's tall enough to ride your ride. But he can't ride bareback.
Can't ride bareback.
No, he can't ride bareback.
Can't ride bareback.
He can't ride bareback. Oh, don't you dare. If he wants to ride bareback, he'll need to find another man.
Why do you think there are not more gay and lesbian blues singers out of the closet?
It's so hard to make a living playing music. And it's hard, so hard to make a living in the blues world because it doesn't get commercial airplay for the most part. It doesn't get, you won't see blues folks on Letterman or Leno, you know. So it's hard to make a living, and you might be scared of losing what audience you do have if you come out. Now, I don't know, are you familiar with Jason Reese?
No.
Okay. He's a young harmonica player, red mohawk hair, flaming gay. And he is the new kid on the scene in the blues world.
Great. I was going to ask you, what openly gay and lesbian blues artists are out there right now?
I would say Jason, and Candy Kane is very bi.
Oh,
and
I love
very,
her.
Yeah, and very open in her love of women. And that's about all that I know that are just, you know, here I am, take me as I am.
Three of you?
That's all. I know others, but I'm not about to out them.
No, I mean openly.
Well, I'm saying openly.
Yeah,
that's what I know.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit like the jazz world with
yeah.
Everyone's in the closet.
I know. So I'm kicking the damn door down.
I ain't ashamed. No, 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 I ain't ashamed. I ain't ashamed. No, 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 I ain't ashamed. Well, it's dark in the closet now. I'm out in the light. Proud of who I am, and my light is shining bright. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I Ain't Ashamed is the closing track to Gay Adegbolola's new album, Gay Without Shame. You can find her online at www.adegbolola.com. And, of course, I'll spell that for you. www.adegbolola.com.
This is Gay Adegbolola. I'm queer, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning, from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Okay, get ready for a quick medley of, let's say, very different music. Those three very different songs were produced or sung by Scott Free, ranging from a dance track called Higher that charted in Europe, Beat the Rap, a hip-hop song from 1984 whose video was featured on the BET network, and a punkish song called Garbage Man. Scott Free is a queer singer-songwriter whose music has a punk rock foundation, but that can vary quite a bit, as he tailors the type of song to the message of its lyrics, whether that leads him to rock, pop, punk, or even hip-hop. His first full-length album from 1997 was kind of heavy rock-oriented and was called Getting Off. Getting Off, Scott Free. Get it? His next release in 1999 was called The Living Dead. This one kept the rock, but blended in other elements, like pop and a little dance. In 2004, he added to his catalog an outstanding CD named They Call Me Mr. Free, with more politics, this time covering wider subject areas, but always in the forefront were songs packing a punch in their addressing of gay issues. Scott's never worried about sticking to mainstream, politically correct gay areas, and I love him for that. In a way, I think all of these albums prepared him for his latest CD called The Pink Album, A Pop Opera. The new album, I think, is a great contribution not only as gay music, but as a chronicle of what it was like to be gay over the last several decades. A musical travelogue, if you will, through our history, at times touching, at times brutal, bearing souls, speaking out, and celebrating our lives. Scott, tell us about the new album.
The album is actually a concept album about growing up gay, through the gay community formation, the AIDS era, and modern issues like gay parenting. I took stories of friends, ex-lovers, and acquaintances, some of my own stories, and put them in chronological order to kind of create a window into the world of gay men in the second half of the 20th century.
I don't want to get too far without letting you hear some of the new album. And I was delighted the album included a song I fell in love with instantly, that I first heard Scott perform in June of 2002 at a small club in New York City. In fact, I was recording that show on my mini disc recorder, and Scott will probably cringe when he finds out I'm doing this, but I want you to hear a few seconds of the song the way I first heard it. Bear in mind, this was a very amateur recording of an acoustic performance. You'll hear what the song became after Scott tells us about it. It's called Like a Girl.
Like a girl, I was beaten up every day. Balling my hands like a girl, I'd be punched in the school hallway. Carrying my books like a girl, and if I ran, it chased me, tripped me laughing, cause I ran like a girl.
That is a story of a friend of mine who I've known for 25 years, and one day, I don't know how we got on the subject, but he started talking about his public school experience of growing up and how he was beaten up every single day, and it went on for years, and it just became a part of his life. And he was, as he was telling me this, I just knew that I had to do a song, and when I hung up the phone, I immediately wrote the song. I think it's the fastest song I've ever written.
I was beaten up every day, holding my hands like a girl. I was punched in the school hallway, carrying my books like a girl in the fire. Girl, I was beaten up every day, getting good grades like a girl. I was kicked down the steel staircase, speaking in class like a girl to cover up the bruises I would make up on my face like a girl. Anything.
And it was really what started this CD also, because I just realized that so much of the issues that gay men in their 30s, 40s, and 50s or 60s have goes back to our childhood, and really the extreme, extreme lives that we had to kind of survive to get through to adulthood, which is just so radically different than what it is like to grow up gay today. And so I just knew that it was really important to delve into that, and that became the start of the CD. Like I said, I extended it. I decided kind of to make it a history from the 60s, 70s, all the way through today. Hence, you know, I dealt with AIDS and gay rights, and I also touched on gay parenting towards the end of the CD, because I wanted to pick some modern topics.
Do you think the Pink Album is your masterwork?
In the process, I really felt like it was. I felt like that I think I touched on these subjects in all of my CDs, but to really completely delve into it, I just felt as I was doing it that I was like, this is the one. This is, and I really had that feeling. I didn't know whether other people would think so, but I absolutely felt that way.
It's divided into four parts. Describe those parts.
The first part is really childhood and adolescence, and through coming out to parents. And then the second part is really just kind of coming of age, kind of recognizing your gayness and being part of a community and fighting for rights. The third part is entirely devoted to the AIDS era. I was 21 when I first heard about AIDS and was living in New York, so I was completely a part of that entire era. And the last part touches on just self-acceptance and also issues like gay parenting.
I really respect this album.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And I'm really proud of some of these songs. Mom, Dad, I think is, I mean, I think maybe that's the song I'm most proud of. I just think that, and like Brady Earnhardt, I did a tour with him last year, and he said that, you know, every time I played that song, he lost it, you know. And because that's exactly what I was trying to do. I was trying to get into the head of a 15-year-old boy who has to tell his parents that he's gay. I mean, for me, it was the hardest thing I ever did. I mean, you know, again, back in that era, it was extremely difficult, and it took a lot of bravery, and so that's what I was trying to get across in that song, was just, you know, just how difficult that really is for a kid to do that.
Mom, Dad, I have something to say to you. First of all, I'm sorry for what I'm going to. And you'll be so disappointed, and your church friends will make jokes, and they'll look at you like you've done something wrong. You've done
tell me about Meet Mr. Right.
Meet Mr. Right is actually, that one is actually my imagination. I think that was mostly built on the phrase. So it actually isn't anyone in particular, but it's just a really, really strong kind of defiance to a man's parents or a young man's parents about bringing a boyfriend home and, you know, forcing them to get through it.
Have to check out the album to see what else happens when the folks meet Mr. Right.
It's about time someone wrote a song called Act Up, Fight Back.
You know, I really felt like I had to devote a number of songs to AIDS. I couldn't skip over it. I couldn't do it lightly. AIDS has been, for 15 years, it was just this black cloud that existed over our lives. And I didn't want to, you know, belittle it. And I knew, in my opinion, ACT UP saved hundreds of thousands of people's lives because they were out there just causing riots to get the drug companies to get those drugs out to people faster than was the normal flow system. And I really struggled with how am I going to write a song about that. And then I was just web searching and I found a website that had just documented all of their protests. And so I thought, oh, this is perfect. I just grabbed all their protest slogans and made a song out of it. And as I started to record it, I was like, oh, wow, I'm onto something here because I just can't ever think of a song that is an actual, instead of a protest, quote unquote, protest song from the 60s. I mean, it is a literal protest song.
Act up, fight back. Act up, fight back. Act up, fight back.
What do we do? Act up, fight back.
Act up, fight back.
What do we do?
Act up, fight back.
Act up, fight back.
What do we do?
Act up, fight back.
Act up, fight back.
What do we do?
Act up, fight back.
Right back.
Not to be
right
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 back.
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 Right
silence equals death.
When you look at your whole career, which song gets the most audience reaction?
Actually, it is a song that is very much about this subject matter, but it wasn't on this CD. And it's called Not Good Enough. And it was about growing up gay, feeling isolated, letting the words that the kids would say, you know, internalize those things and really having to deal with your own self-esteem issues because of what you were called when you were young. So that's the one that people have really reacted to the most.
When we were young, we knew we were different. We didn't know how or why. And as we grew up, we found what was different was only our dreams and desires. But we learned the names that they had for us. Crazy would never discover us. And as we waited silently, quietly, we learned them silently, quietly, we learned them. How could we just believe what they said? Couldn't we see our beauty instead?
I love that song, Not Good Enough, from the 1999 CD, The Living Dead.
Do some people in your audience think, this is a really heavy show?
I get complaints. The worst reaction I've ever had is actually to the new CD on a website called Balearico, and I sent it out to this guy for review, and he ripped it to shreds. And the thing is, I'm actually all for music criticism, and I think that one of the things that I think maybe gay music has suffered from was not enough criticism. So I'm actually fine with a bad review. But I just found it interesting that the things that he decided to pick on, I thought, I mean, because I can be very self-critical, and I can think, oh, I didn't do a good job playing this instrument, and my voice sounds bad, and blah, 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 you know. But he, you know, the things that he picked on, I was like, wait a second, those are my strongest things. So, but that really got me also thinking about the generation gap, because, you know, he kind of had some off-handed comment about, well, gee, what about the story about picking up a guy playing video games? And I was like, well, video games didn't exist back then. You know, it's like, I mean, it was kind of a side comment, but again, it's just like, well, okay, maybe these aren't your experiences if you're in your early 20s, but, and I think he was saying like they were kind of cliched experiences. I'm like, well, you can call them cliches, but I hate to say it, but these were our experiences, and they were all very common because we all were going through the same thing. I mean, there was no gay community, you know, or barely. I mean, when I was growing up, I knew that there was a whole bunch of gays in San Francisco and New York. You know, that's all I knew. I mean, there was no even a concept of gay community. You know, so these experiences, you know, cliched as they might be, they were absolutely most of our experiences. And, then,
that was an interesting comment about our press maybe not being critical enough. You know, because there's like a feeling, oh, we're the gay community, we need to be supportive.
Yeah.
So even if you don't really like the CD, you know, don't knock it.
No, exactly. And yeah, I think that any kind of healthy genre needs to have criticism. That's just absolutely a part of it. And I haven't seen that too much, and unfortunately, it was by CD. That's okay. And I feel kind of a lot about, you know, that kind of perspective with my latest CD. I was like, and I don't want to be ageist. I mean, the members of my band are all in their 20s, and they all love the CD. They only played on one or two songs. They really didn't know too many of the songs. We haven't played these out. And they, you know, and they're in their early 20s, and they really appreciated it. But I do think that there is a pretty large contingent of the younger generation that just doesn't appreciate it or doesn't want to learn about our history. And now we have a history now.
Remember early on that Scott said the title of the CD, The Pink Album, A Pop Opera, was partly a tip of the hat to the band The Who. So it wasn't lost on me that he closed the album with a song that shares the same title with a classic Who song. Tell me about My Generation.
Yeah, My Generation was me trying to sum up the album, really. And again, I was really thinking musical theater as the concept. I call it a pop opera, but really musical theater. And so I kind of wanted to have a reprise or, you know, something that would sum up, you know, what where our experiences were. And so, just for me, the thing that I really just remembered was that whole, and I moved to New York when I was 21, and I just remember that whole thing of when you're living in New York and just you would talk to the other young gay men and they would be saying, oh, I'm from Oklahoma, oh, I'm from, you know, Seattle, oh, I'm from, you know, in Iowa, and that's really what happened is, you know, people grew up all alone, and then when they finally could get out, they escaped. And I mean, I think that was, again, so much of our experience. These days, people don't necessarily have to escape. It's right, you know, I mean, you've got the internet. It doesn't matter if you're in the smallest town in America, you know, you're connected. But that wasn't the case when we were growing up. And
no.
So that's why that kind of became the theme of that song.
From our small towns and suburbia, we'd escape. My old fears, living nightmares, wait away one by one. And we came to a place where we would belong. And we made up the rules as we went along. found each other.
I think I ran out of questions.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad that you got it. You know, it's funny because as I was creating the CD, I was like, oh, God, I hope JD likes this. No, I was like, you better like this.
No, you didn't.
I did. I'm serious. I had you. You were probably the one person I had most admired when I was creating the CD.
Really? Why?
Absolutely. Just because, I mean, because your queer music heritage. And I thought, well, this is queer music heritage. That's what this CD is, you know. So, oh no, absolutely. I mean, I'm not like making that up or anything. Absolutely. That was, because I think what you do is so important. I mean, it's just, you know, especially again because our lives have changed so much. That history is really, really important. That's, you know, that's a really important aspect of our community.
I'm down to the last song, and I want to remind folks that the album we've been talking about is called The Pink Album, A Pop Opera. And you can find out much more about it at the website www.scottfree.net. And also, before I get to the last song, I want to thank you all for listening. And I want to especially thank Gay Adegbolola and Scott Free for the wonderful interviews. I wish I would have had time to go more into the rich history of Scott's music, but this is not the first time I've interviewed him, and you can hear an interview from my site from 2005 that digs deep into his previous album, They Call Me Mr. Free. You can find that at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. I'm closing the show with a song by Scott that became a breakout hit from the album, and the video was in the top 10 of Logo's click list for a number of weeks. The song is called Free.
Free was my attempt to write really a Bob Dylan song for the gay community. That was kind of the concept. It started on a harmonica and an acoustic guitar. And I just wanted to have something that kind of explained our perspective in the most simple terms that I could so that it could really reach a wide audience. And so, you know, the phrase, they hate me because I love you, that was really the start of the entire song. That entire concept of they hate us because we love. I thought that was really, really important.
You've been performing the songs from the new album for a while now, or?
A number of them, yeah. I have certainly, as you know, Like a Girl, I've been performing that one for years.
Is it too early to ask which track from the new one gets the most audience reaction?
So far, it actually has been Free, which, you know, again, it kind of surprised me because I just thought, oh, you know, maybe it's too simple, and because it is. And even, you know, I am all about song structure and making it complex and everything. And yet I was thinking, well, okay, I'm supposed to do Dylan here. This is supposed to be 60s. So, like, no bridge, just, you know, keep it simple. And, yeah, that has been the one.
Love you. kill me because I die for you. They hate me because I love you.